And good afternoon, Tracy Morgan with you with our extended news at noon. And so today what I'm going to do is talk to one of the pastors in the area, because I am curious on what churches look like as they're reopening. Now, the thought process here is, if you had to close and now you're reopening, what does that look like, the logistics of it? And so on the phone with me right now is Pastor Cameron Neese, and he is the lead pastor, the senior pastor of Bright Hope Community Church in Butler. And Pastor Neese, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tracy, for having me.
Now, before we get into the logistics of what it looks like for your opening, tell me about you. I mean, you've been a pastor here in the Butler area for just a couple of years, haven't you?
Yeah, actually less than that. So my wife and I moved here on May 31st. We moved here to the Butler area May 31st of last year, 2019. And so in just about a week and a half, we will reach our one-year anniversary. Before that, we lived in the state of Indiana. I was going to seminary there, and I earned my Master of Divinity. And so then we moved here so that I could lead Bright Hope Community Church, and we've been here ever since.
And so anywhere that you would have been in the country, you would have had to have dealt with this. So what was it like as a pastor to have this in front of you? I mean, the whole picture. I mean, you had to close and now you're reopening. That's got to be a lot of stress for you, because you're there to take care of people.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was different. It was definitely unexpected. It's not the normal first year as a pastor, I would say so. But it's been good. You know, the Lord's been stretching me. The Lord's been stretching our leadership team in different ways. We've had to adapt and even progress in a lot of ways, such as using social media outlets. Like, we already had a Facebook account that was pretty active, but we weren't doing, before this, we weren't doing Facebook Lives for the services. Now we are. And so God's kind of used this coronavirus to actually kind of propel us forward in several different areas. So I would say there are pros and cons to what's gone on. Obviously, it is a bad thing, the virus itself. But the Lord is doing a lot of great things too with His church.
Let me ask you what the size of your church typically is, and I'll ask it in a couple of different ways, because I know the church that I attend, you have the size that's on the roster, and then you have the size that actually mm-hmm. attend on a regular basis. So what are we looking at in the size of your church?
Absolutely. We have probably an average of 100 to 115 people
okay.
who attend.
Okay. And the reason I wanted to ask that is because since we're in the yellow phase, that's important to understand how you have calculated how you're going to try to reopen. So let's, first of all, you've been open now for a couple of weekends, and I'm curious on what that looks like. So first of all, are you using like an RSVP kind of system? And if you are, how is that working?
Yes. So our first Sunday back was May 17th. So we were shut down from March 17th to May 17th, so we returned to May 17th, and we are using a sign-up sheet. We went through the auditorium and actually removed half of the chairs, so we removed up to 50% capacity in order to stay within the governor's guidelines, and so we wanted to take away 50% of the chairs. We have a sign-up sheet then, which then we would have room for about 80 people. We still have about 80 chairs in our auditorium, but the sign-up sheet only includes, I think, 50 or 60 slots. So just in case we had visitors, there would still be a little bit of room. But otherwise, we do have a sign-up sheet. We use signupgenius.com. For our needs in that
okay.
area.
And I just find that interesting, because I'm trying to see what churches collectively are doing and then independently are doing. And that's something that I've heard of through a couple of different means, that churches are going on and trying to get people to, in a sense, sign up for the service that they would like to attend. What happens if you have a lot more of a response? Will you ask people to go to a different service? Will you hold multiple services to include everyone?
Yes, originally we only had one service, and now because of this, and because we're using this sign-up sheet. We actually have two services now. So we have an 8:45 service and an 11 o'clock service in the morning on Sunday mornings. And so we do have two services now. If one slot fills up, then obviously if someone wants to come, then they would have to choose the other service. If for whatever reason we would just have an overabundance of people, like it just the sign-up sheets, both of them filled up, then we would look into creating a third service or doing another option like that. Sometimes, though, we have people who've shown up who haven't necessarily signed up, and so that's kind of a different dynamic that we just have to look for. But that's something why we didn't make our sign-up sheets for all of our seats, just in case there were visitors or someone in our congregation didn't sign up. We do have extra space under the guidelines.
Now, obviously, you're saying if visitors come, they're going to be welcome. But at this stage of the game, since we're all just trying to reopen in some form, if we can, and you being a church with the amount of people that you want in a service are trying to do that, are you trying to limit right now the services to your parishioners? And again, you're not trying to exclude people. I hear that through your answers. But are you just trying to ask your parishioners right now, or are you asking anyone who wants to come, just go ahead and please sign up?
We're doing a little bit of both. We first extend the sign-up sheet every week. We extend it to the members or those in our church that we have. We have their email. We have their contact information. So we send it out to them. And I think we do that on Monday or so, but then by, I think it's Wednesday, I might have my dates wrong, but by the middle of the week, we then put it on Facebook. We put it on our website, for anybody who would be visiting those, digital platforms and see and be in this area and want to attend a church. We are one of the few churches right now in this area that are open. And so I think that's exciting for people, you know, if they want to come and worship the Lord as with the body. And so that gives kind of an allowance for them to do that.
Right. Pastor Cameron Neese with me. He is the lead pastor of Bright Hope Community Church, and we've extended the invitation to churches. I know we can't talk to every single church, but Pastor Neese was able to connect with us, and he's sharing the fact that they've been open for a couple of weekends trying to reopen and trying to see how all of this goes. And so we're talking just about the logistics of that. What's it look like? And so, Pastor Neese, let me ask you about the masks. Will you be asking people to wear their masks? Will they have the option to wear them or not? And will you be providing masks?
Yes, that's a very good question. Actually, we want to, as much as possible, Bright Hope Community Church, we want to submit and honor our governing authorities. And so the recommendations, the guidelines, the policies that are being made, we want to, as much as possible, we want to honor them and submit to those things that they are coming out. And so we're keeping a close watch on that, on everything that they say, everything that comes from the CDC, the governor's office. But just like in the guidelines that they have sent out, everyone 2 years old and older must wear a face mask when they're in a public setting, unless there is a medical reason for not being able to wear one. Obviously, that would be the one exception. But everyone else, 2 years old and up, has to wear a mask in the facility. If it came down to it and someone was unwilling, it wasn't a medical reason, but they were just unwilling, we would at that point have to, at least for right now, we'd have to ask them to leave or please put on a mask. But I know also that 2 year olds, it can be a little challenging for kids to keep a mask on. So that is definitely a dynamic that we've talked about as a leadership team, as a church body. But we are stressing, we are asking the parents to as much as possible try with all your might, try your best, you know, to keep the mask on your kids. And so far, you know, we've seen it work out really well, actually. And we are providing masks. We do ask that people come with their own masks. Most people pretty much already have a mask or two that they've made or that they've had since we've been in quarantine for a while, and you need it everywhere else you go. But just in case someone shows up who does not have one, we do have we've had people in the congregation who have made some, and we have ordered some online, and so we have those to give to people just in case they don't have one.
Well, Pastor Nisa, I mean, I've been going to church for a long time, and I know when I tried to get my kids when they were younger out of the house, I forgot probably six things I was supposed to bring on that Sunday morning. So sometimes you're just going to forget, you know, just trying to get there on time is busy enough. And so, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're going to at least be offering if they forgot. And I go back to what you said on parents trying their best and kids, you know, maybe being uncomfortable in masks, because it's an interesting time that we live in, because my son's now older. We're in teenage years here in my house, but still, my son and I were out at a store the other day, and of course we had our masks on, and he even leaned over, and he has allergies, and he said, "Mom, I don't know if I can stay in here for another couple of minutes because I have to start sneezing." But it had nothing to do with anything but allergies. And so, you know, you're in a position now that you know, people wonder and if anybody coughs or sneezes, but yet sometimes it's just allergies, or sometimes you just have to clear your throat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just interesting. Do you have any viewpoint on that? Because it'll just be interesting to be in church again when people are just being healthy and normal, but yet we cough and we sneeze.
We know that, you know, people are going to be sick, not with COVID-19, but they're going to have other things going on, the sniffles, you're going to have a cold. There's going to be just other forms of the flu, other things that are going around. And we can't ultimately protect, even the masks can't ultimately protect from all of these things. But we do just want to, as much as possible, submit to, honor the governing authorities and the policies that they've come out with. So we want to wear a mask. We want to be above reproach in doing that.
Sure.
We just ask people to wear a mask.
Let me ask you this then. How does this affect singing? Obviously, if we're saying creeds or prayers or whatever, you know, you have in your church and you're repeating things, of course, we could just go ahead and say that. But will you be singing? Are you going to eliminate that? How does that work?
So as far as the worship team goes, we decided that we wanted to limit, as much as possible, we wanted to limit the amount of people moving around, talking, no one extra is sharing announcements or reading scripture like we would normally have extra people go up there on the stage and do those two things. But no one new is doing that. We're not, this might be getting ahead, but we're not passing an offering plate. We're trying to limit the interaction, the physical interaction as much as possible. And that goes too with the praise team that we have. So we still have the praise team. They still get up on stage. We have tape marked on the stage so that people know where to stand. We want to maintain proper social distancing area. Everyone, though, on the praise team is wearing masks, except the one or two people who are doing the singing. Just it can be a little difficult to sing, even preach, while wearing a mask. And so we're looking again to our leaders, our authorities. Every time you see on the media, whenever they get up in front of everybody and talk, the governor will take his mask off, he'll talk, and then he'll put it back on. So we're trying to mimic them and imitate them in that. And so when the worship team gets up on stage, everyone's wearing a mask except those one or two people who are singing. But as soon as they step off the stage, they put a mask on, just like everybody else.
Right.
When I'm preaching as the pastor, I wear a mask the whole time, except whenever I'm giving the message. But then right after, I put my mask on.
Yeah, masks and microphones are an interesting combination. I can I understand where you are with that. Absolutely. The next question I have for you is about cleaning procedures. Are you doing any extra cleaning while people are on site? How have you decided to take care of that?
Absolutely. Well, we have a wonderful lady in our church who cleans our church every week, so that's just kind of a normal thing. But then also one of our members, his name is Ron Phil, but he actually owns his own business called Allergen Sweep, and so he does that in this area. It's Allergen Sweep. He removes mold, bacteria, but he has a fabric-safe, organically made compound that actually kills the virus. If it's sitting on chairs or on countertops or doorknobs or whatever, so it actually kills the virus. So after the services, he goes around And he sprays everything. He sprays the chairs, light switches, beams and poles that maybe people have been leaning against. You know, just things that you don't normally wouldn't think about. Knobs, either for cabinets, drawers, or even doorknobs, et cetera. So he'll spray a whole host of different areas, and that then takes probably the amount of time between the ending of the first service and the beginning of the second service in order to dry and really have its full effect. And then he'll do it at the end of the second service as well. But in countertops and things like that, we have a strong disinfectant spray. We have plenty of disinfectant wipes. Restrooms, we clean them after each service. Like we're taking every precaution available. We even have cleaning logs that are posted for every room in our facility. So just like restaurants, just like gas stations, we have cleaning logs on the doors with the date, time, name, and the area that you cleaned. Again, just so that we can document it and we have it there for people's reference.
Pastor Neese, at Bright Hope Community Church, do you sit in chairs or pews? What do you use?
We sit in chairs.
Okay. So that's easily movable instead of pews where you may have to rope off a few sections. Okay, just wanted to get that picture in our heads. So anything else in the way of reopening a church that you would like to share with us? Because I'm sure there are churches out there still trying to figure this out. And how do we open and reopen? And again, churches are of different sizes, so we understand that has a certain element to it when you're trying to decide how to reopen a church. But anything else that you could share that might help another church when they're trying to figure all of this out?
Right now, we're just kind of taking it week by week. Obviously, we're in the yellow phase now, and we're very happy about that. We're very happy as a church body that we have the ability to meet together again. We've even had a sign-up sheet for a midweek service. We have a lot less people who attend that, but we've been able to do that. But you know, we've done digital bulletins. We have, instead of passing an offering plate, we purchased just a stationary offering box that we put in the back. Although most people probably throughout this quarantine period have been giving digitally, and so that's still probably what most people are doing. We also have one greeter. So basically at the front door, there's only one person. He's wearing gloves, he's wearing a mask, but he's the only person who's really touching the door handle to the outside, so there's not a lot of contamination. But we just wanted to do as much as possible, again, to just where we can meet together, but we are limiting the physical touch interaction that we were having.
On your first weekend that you reopened, did you have a lot of attendees? Did you have your normal amount? Did people shy away from returning to church? What did you see in the way of a response?
A good percentage of people did not come. There are probably many reasons. Probably to see how things were going to go. I mean, it was the first week that we opened, and so probably in a lot of people's minds is, you know, let's wait a week or two or three. But there were a lot of people who did come. I think we ended up having 20 to 25 people or so. I can't remember the exact number, but somewhere in that ballpark for the first service, the 8:45 a.m. And then for the second service, 11, we had just about 50 people. And so we still had a good amount.
Let's get your contact information in the way of your website. I know you said you're out there on Facebook. If people want to view your services in an alternative way, instead of being there in person, they have the options. Why don't you go ahead and share with us how people can get in contact with you socially?
Absolutely. So on Facebook, we have a Facebook page. Obviously, it's Bright Hope Community Church in Butler, Pennsylvania. Our website is brighthopechurch.com. brighthopechurch.com. Even if you just Googled Bright Hope Community Church, Butler, Pennsylvania, it would pop up. It's one of the first search results. And so those are kind of the easiest ways right now to see what's going on within our church, and to see what's happening throughout the week.
Well, I appreciate you joining us for a few minutes. Pastor Cameron Neese, again, lead pastor of Bright Hope Community Church in Butler. They've started to reopen on the weekends, giving an option for people to sign up, if you will, so they can make sure that they respect what is out there in the way of the government regulations, if you will. So I appreciate you joining me. It's an interesting conversation to have. I know none of us have been here before ever to have churches closed down like they had. Pastor Neese, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Tracy, for having me.